there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is the Tales from the Flip Side podcast, and I am your host, the comic book loving, time traveling, deco punk, prophet of pop culture, John Pica. You can call me Johnny. And on this episode, I am going to give you my initial reactions and review of Avengers Infinity War. Now, if you've been living under a rock, you may not have heard about this movie. Avengers Infinity War is the culmination of about 20 movies through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel Studios, owned by Disney, which started with the first Iron Man film in 2008. And throughout the last 10 years, every story that they've told has been leading to this film. Avengers Infinity War features the largest cast of any movie I've ever seen, and the largest cast of any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. It's already, in its opening weekend, topped over $600 million, breaking all previous opening day box office records. This movie is a juggernaut. And I'm going to warn you right now that there will be some spoilers in this episode. I'm gonna cover this really kind of quickly, almost on the surface at a 30,000 foot level, because I don't want to spend a lot of time going over every minute detail. I want to refer you to our Facebook page for Tales from the Flip Side, because Wednesday we're going to do a Facebook Live with me and my co-host Bewitched Raven, and we will go into depth and have interactive conversations with you, our fans. So make sure you go to the Facebook page, like it, and click the notification so that you will get notified of when we go live Wednesday at 8. That will be May the 2nd. May the 2nd, we'll go live. But let's talk about Infinity Wars from a 30,000-foot level. And again, you will hear spoilers. First of all, first big spoiler, and if you haven't already heard this on the internet, then you've really done a good job of avoiding spoilers. This movie has been called The Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it is absolutely the truth. Everything takes a very dark turn, and just like the end of Empire Strikes Back, you're going to be sitting there thinking to yourself, or even saying out loud like I did, what the heck? And it's a movie that just kind of leaves you speechless. And, you know, I got to say this. Empire Strikes Back, when I saw that as a kid, I hated that movie. Now it's considered the best Star Wars movie and one of the best movies ever made. At the time, I hated it. And I'm hearing a lot of disappointment from MCU fans on the way Infinity War ended. But I'm hearing from a lot of parents that their kids have been traumatized by how this movie ended. And to those people, let me just say, your kids are going to be okay. They're not traumatized. They just have the same reaction that I had when I saw Empire Strikes Back. What do you mean the bad guys win? That's what I thought. How could Darth Vader be Luke's father? You just felt like you were gut punched. And in a lot of ways, this movie feels the same way. Infinity War feels the same way. Like you just got punched in your gut. So Let's talk the good things first. It is a roller coaster ride. It is a spectacle of a movie. Has an enormous cast, and there are three concurrent stories going on. There is the story that is opened up with the destruction of the Asgard refugee ship and the slaughter of half of the Asgardians. We don't see this battle. We don't see who escaped. But since Valkyrie and Korg are not accounted for in the victims of the invasion by Thanos and the Black Order, we have to assume they escaped with the half of the Asgardians that survived. But we don't know. They're not accounted for. So Thanos is tracking the Tesseract, the space gem, and he's tracked it to the Asgardian ship. Loki has, you know, retrieved it from Odin's vault before Asgard was destroyed in Thor Ragnarok. He's been holding on to it, and he's forced to surrender it to Thanos, and he tries to play some trickery on Thanos. It doesn't work out too well for him. Spoiler alert, Loki dies, and probably this time for real. Thanos chokes him out, breaks his neck, and, you know, we'll have to wait and see. And Heimdall, in a last-ditch effort to get word to those who can help, opens the Bifrost and sends the Hulk to Earth. And in a really great Easter egg nod to the Infinity Gauntlet comic, the Hulk crash lands in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Doctor Strange, and when they look down upon him, it's Banner, and he says, "Thanos is coming." Now, this is a nod to the comic because that was the role Silver Surfer played. Silver Surfer crashed into Doctor Strange's sanctum and uttered those words, "Thanos is coming," to open up the Infinity Gauntlet series. So Hulk serves that. Heimdall dies in a last moment of defiance. Thor is allowed to live, but Thanos blows the ship up, and presumably whoever wasn't already slaughtered is now dead in the explosion, except for Thor. He survives because, of course, he does. He's the god of thunder. He is the strongest of them all, and he can float in space without air or water. So he encounters the Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's where the stories start to split. On Earth, Tony Stark, Doctor Strange, Wong, and Banner are confronted by the First Order, or the Black Order, rather, and they have a battle in New York. You know, there's a spaceship that has come down, and the Black Order retreats, but Tony and Peter Parker and Doctor Strange pursue them, and so they end up in space on Thanos' ship. And then Thor meets up with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and the Guardians and Strange and Spider-Man converge. Rocket Raccoon and Groot go off with Thor, who is going to go get a new weapon forged by the dwarves, a new axe forged in the heart of a dying star. And then all the meanwhile on Earth, because the Vision has the mind gem, he is in Wakanda. They're prepared to defend him against the oncoming army coming to get the mind gem. So there are three battles, three stories going on, and they finally all converge on Thanos' planet and finally in Wakanda. Everything ends in Wakanda. And, you know, Thanos is trying to get the time gem from Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange, uses the time stone to look at 12 million possible futures, and there's only one possible future where they survive, where they stop Thanos. And they put the plan in play. there's so much going on here. It's hard for me to really compact this into 20 minutes, but Strange, Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Guardians of the Galaxy, they're going to take on Thanos, one-on-one. Thor's going to go forge a new weapon in the heart of a dying star with the help of Groot and Rocket Raccoon. They come to Earth and join Captain America, Black Widow, Black Panther, Okoye, and Winter Soldier, who are leading the Wakandan army against Thanos' invasion army. And let me tell you what, awesome, awesome, awesome battle. Let me just say that the Dora Milaje, the warrior women of Wakanda, once again shine, and in particular, Okoye is badass. She and Black Widow face off against Proxima Midnight, one of the Black Order, and just school her. It was awesome. Just fantastic. And so at the end of the day, here's where it all comes down. Thanos gets the time gem and goes to Earth to get the mind gem. It's the last one. It's the last one he's going to need to complete the gauntlet. And long story short, he rips the mind gem out of the head of the Vision, leaving the Vision essentially dead, a dead machine. He completes the gauntlet. Thor tries one last-ditch effort, throws his axe into Thanos' chest, and, you know, we know that Thanos is going to wipe out half the galaxy's population with a snap of his fingers. And Thanos looks at Thor and said, "You should have gone for my head." Snaps his fingers, vanishes, and that's where everyone gets sucker punched. More than half our characters do not make it out alive. In the blink of an eye, half of existence is wiped away. And if you've seen the movie, and if you're watching this, or if you're listening to this right now and you haven't already seen it, I don't know why you're listening to this. Go watch the movie and then come back, because I'm going to give you the death list right now. Spoiler alert. Black Panther, Winter Soldier, Scarlet Witch, Vision, Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the Falcon. None of those characters make it out alive. They all vanish and crumble to dust. The characters remaining are the original Avengers: Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Black Widow, Hulk, and presumably Hawkeye. We'll talk about that in a minute. Along with War Machine, Okoye, Rocket Raccoon, and Nebula. Oh, I forgot to mention Groot. He dies too. Now, let's talk about some really, really good things here. Some really great things in this movie. One, they elevated Thor to a top-tier superpower. He is now on the level with Superman. He is the Superman of the MCU at this point. He gets this new axe, Stormbreaker, and his powers are elevated to a whole new level. What I loved about the Stormbreaker is they forge the axe. The dwarf forges the axe, and the dwarf is played by Peter Dinklage. And I love that in the MCU, Asgardian dwarves are actually giants. It was pretty cool. He forges Stormbreaker. There's no handle. He's looking for the handle. Where's the handle? Where did I put the handle? And Groot, teenage Groot, who's been, you know, just kind of nonchalant and a jerk, you know, comes over and uses his tendrils, his arms, and breaks off a piece of his arm as it forms the handle for the new Stormbreaker. And that was really awesome. Thor shows up on Wakanda and just with a sweep of the axe wipes out half of the army. Unbelievable. Awesome. Thor was fantastic. Groot and Rocket were great. A lot of comedy with Thor and the Guardians. A lot of comedy. What else was really good? Spider-Man in the new Iron Spider suit. Phenomenal. Loved it. Loved it. It was great. The aforementioned scenes with Okoye and Black Widow. All of the scenes with the kind of Team Cap. Captain America, Black Widow, Falcon, the Black Panther, and Okoye. All those fights were really good because, you know, they're depending on skill, not so much power. And I like that. We saw Scarlet Witch's powers enhanced even further. She's flying now, which was really great. She's the only one, according to Shuri, that has the sufficient power to remove the mind gem from the Vision and to destroy it before Thanos can get it. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Shuri was great in her first meeting with Dr. Banner. She totally schools him when, you know, they're talking about how the Vision was created. And here's one little problem that they're going to have to address somehow. Tony and Bruce Banner did not set out to create the Vision. They completed his creation, but Ultron is the one who created him. They just completed the process. So they weren't involved in the design of the Vision at all. And, you know, Shuri talks about, you know, some of the design elements. Why didn't you do this? Banner said, well, we didn't think of it. Well, that's true. They didn't think of it. They didn't create him. Anyway, they might have to go back and address that. There were a lot of good things on about this movie. A lot of great things that we saw. Now, I want to talk about the things that they did that I have problem with. First of all, the first problem I have with Infinity War is that Marvel Studios made a lot of assumptions about fan base. They made a lot of assumptions that you already have seen all of the other films and that you know who each and every one of these characters is. They, you know, they didn't have any exposition or any setup of who anybody was. And look, I get it. This is a film with a lot of characters crammed into a, you know, 2.5-hour film. And they don't have time for exposition. Otherwise, it would have been a 5-hour film. But, you know, no setup. You had to have watched the other movies to know who anyone was. That's kind of a problem for me. You know, good comic books reestablish who the characters are for the reader every single issue. I'm thinking Mark Waid's Flash run. You know, every page started with, "My name's Wally West. I'm the fastest man alive." You know, reestablishing that status quo, and there was none of that in Infinity War. Okay. The other thing that I think bothered me is that there were so many characters unaccounted for. They addressed the absence of Hawkeye and Ant-Man, and we know that this movie leads directly into Ant-Man, and we'll learn more about why he wasn't there and the ramifications and fallout of Thanos' finger snap. We'll find that in Ant-Man and the Wasp coming in July. But we don't see anything about Hawkeye other than we know that it was explained away that he made a deal with the government and he's in hiding. Okay, but this is end of the world stuff. We need to see Hawkeye. We need to have more than just a single line of dialogue in this case. So that was a problem. But the other characters that are accounted for, like Agent Ross from Black Panther, Sharon Carter, we don't know what ever happened with Valkyrie or Korg. Where in the world is Sif? Where has Sif been? We haven't seen her since her appearance on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Where is she? Did she die at the hands of Hela in Ragnarok? Did Malekith, you know, kill her in Dark World? I don't think so. I think she was in that. I don't remember. Yeah, she was. She was, because she met Jane Foster, I think. I'll have to go back and look. But where has Sif been? We didn't see her in Ragnarok. We've not seen her in this. We don't know. I need some accounting, Marvel. So that was frustrating. The other frustrating thing is there was a scene where Wong... There's another scene where Wong is fighting with a member of the Black Order, and he uses his sling ring to open a a dimensional transport, and he gets pushed through. And as that member of the Black Order is trying to reach back through, Wong closes the portal and cuts his arm off. So in the battle with Thanos, I can't figure out why Doctor Strange didn't do the same thing to take the gauntlet off of Thanos. You open a portal, pull his arm through, close it, cut off the gauntlet, battle done, movie over, day is saved. No, they couldn't do that. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to show that ability and that's something that can happen and then you don't use that, it bothered me. So that is kind of the 30,000-foot overview. Three stories masterfully crafted together. They used all of the characters in concert exceptionally well. At the end, we're basically left with the original Avengers plus a few. And then the post-credit scene is Nick Fury and Maria Hill. They are trying to, you know, coordinate what's going on around the world, you know, getting intel. You know, obviously they're not part of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore because S.H.I.E.L.D. officially doesn't exist anymore, but they're still pulling some strings and getting intel and calling in some reserves. And just as Maria Hill and Nick Fury are crumbling into dust, Nick Fury presses the signal to call for Captain Marvel. And the last thing we see is the signal device showing Captain Marvel's emblem. So we know Captain Marvel's coming. We know the movie's coming next March, which will be awesome. But again, we got a problem. How do we know that she survived Thanos' finger snap? We do know that she did, but this is a problem. This is a problem. So a lot of people have been talking about how this movie didn't acknowledge any fan theories or do any fan service. And I get where some people wanted to see certain things. They had theories about what was going to happen and how. And really none of that came to pass except for the Vision being, you know, not surviving and being, you know, the key, the focal point of the conflict. That was accurate. But the rest of the fan theories and fan service, Marvel just, they did their own thing. And a lot of people are complaining about that. And some reviewers have even gone on to say that this is a mistake and it hurt The Last Jedi. And, you know, didn't Disney learn anything from the Star Wars saga? Well, it didn't hurt The Last Jedi. It hurt The Last Jedi among expanded universe fans and people who wanted to see certain things that they didn't see, or people who thought they had ownership, but it's not their story. And the same way, Infinity War is not our story as fans. Are there things that I would have done differently? Sure. Sure, I might have told the story a little bit differently. Does it set up the next movie and make me want to see it? Hell yeah. I got to see how this thing resolves itself, because we know these characters aren't dead for good. We know that there's a Spider-Man 2 coming. We know that there's eventually another Black Panther movie coming, because Black Panther was a juggernaut success that nobody expected, and here that character is killed off in the very next movie. Now, maybe he's going to stay dead, and Shuri becomes Black Panther. She's the next one in line. And with the tech, she doesn't even need the heart-shaped herb to have the powers of the Black Panther, but it would sure help. So maybe she will become the Black Panther. We don't know. Maybe in Avengers 4, she is the new Black Panther. We don't know. But, you know, a lot of fans are upset that they killed Black Panther, what they call refrigerating. I don't get that term. Whatever. I just think that Black Panther was a much bigger hit than anyone anticipated, and it was always part of this story, yada, yada, yada. So I don't think that's a bad thing. I think they just told the story they needed to tell. Where I do take issue is that, you know, when the MCU launched, we were promised this intricate, connected universe. And the films has delivered on that, you know, telling this narrative storyline across 20 movies, all interconnecting and all connected to each other. And for the most part, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did a good job the first three seasons connecting everything. In season four and now in season five, it's more or less just references here and there. But they've completely divorced the Netflix shows from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Runaways completely divorced from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, even the promised Inhumans series should have been closely tied to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was kind of its own thing. And now the promised cohesive universe that we were, you know, that we were promised is splintered. And there's a lot of different reasons. I've talked about the feud between Perlmutter and Feige before. Basically, they hate each other and they're, you know, trying to give the finger to each other and won't cooperate. I think that's a huge mistake. And in the Friday night episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as Infinity War was premiering, that Friday night episode, they mention what's going on in New York. Have you guys heard about what's going on in New York? And that's it. Next week, if there's not some significant, substantial fallout from Thanos' finger snap, we got a problem. We got a problem, and Marvel needs to fix it. Now, luckily, look, there were no Netflix characters in the movie. And some people were thinking, okay, that was going to be a surprise, and, you know, they're just keeping it secret. No. No Netflix characters, no Hawkeye, no Ant-Man. Captain Marvel did not appear yet. She will in the next movie, and in her own solo movie, but not in this one. But the absence of the Netflix characters is an interesting problem, because it has a perfect solution. When they release the Blu-ray and DVD, all Marvel Studios has to do is get together, film a couple of scenes, a couple of bonus content scenes to put on the Blu-ray and DVD showing Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., hell, even some of the Inhumans characters, you know, reacting to or being affected by what's going on in Infinity War. You put that as bonus content on the Blu-ray and the DVD, this fan is happy. A lot of fans are happy. You've reconnected the universes without having to do a lot of gymnastics. And really, that's all we want as fans. We want what we were promised, Marvel. Give us the tight, cohesive Marvel Cinematic Universe that we were promised. That's all. We don't need cameos on each other's shows all the time. We don't need characters to show up in each of the different franchises. We just need references and dialogue that acknowledges what's going on. That's all. You guys can do that. And you can do it on the Blu-ray and DVD release. So what's next? Where do we go from here? Well, Avengers 4 is coming out next May. So it's a year from now, but we know that that movie is the true endgame. So everything will be resolved. We know it's a time travel story. My theory is that when Doctor Strange gave up the time gem to save Tony Stark, it was because the future where they win was dependent on Tony Stark being alive, being able to go back in time, work with the Avengers in the attack on New York, the Battle of New York, and change the timeline. I think that's what's going to happen. Now, when they change the timeline, a couple of things are going to happen. One, it's going to pave the way for the reintroduction of the Fantastic Four and the X-Men into the MCU. You know that Disney has acquired Fox. Fox properties are now owned and will be available for the MCU to reincorporate. So we know that Hugh Jackman has been spotted on the set of Avengers 4, so that is a potential thing coming. We'll potentially see the X-Men. We know that Fox has announced that this next X-Men film, The Phoenix Rising, is for sure the end of that franchise. They won't be making any more movies. That is the end story for that franchise as it exists. That timeline, done. Deadpool 2 is the end of the Deadpool timeline story arc. That universe will be reincorporated into the MCU. And I think Avengers 4 is going to serve to do that. If you read the comics, if you're a fan of the comics, you know that there are two characters out there that prominently featured into the defeat of Thanos. One is the Silver Surfer. He's part of the Fantastic Four property, and that comes back to Marvel. And the other one is Adam Warlock. We know that Adam Warlock was created at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and that he's out there. So there's some big things on the horizon, some big things that could happen. We're just going to have to wait and see. Are they going to reset the entire Avengers storyline? Maybe. You know, the MCU after Avengers 4 is going to look very different. What it's going to look like, I don't know yet. But it's exciting. This is an exciting time to be a Marvel movie fan. And I, for one, can't wait to see what comes next. I'd love to hear your comments. Send me an email at johnpica@johnpica.com, or you can connect with me on Facebook, on the Tales from the Flipside page, Instagram, Pinterest, you know, your Twitter even, your favorite social media platform of choosing. Let me know what you think, and give us a shout and tell us your thoughts about Avengers Infinity War. Well, guys and gals, that is it for my 30,000-foot overview. Bewitched Raven and I are going to get into more detail. We're going to talk more in depth this Wednesday, May 2nd, on our Facebook page for Tales from the Flipside. It will be live interactive, so you'll be able to join in the conversation, comment along with us, and let us know what you think. So until then, we'll catch you on the flip side.